Hello and welcome to WBOI Presents. I'm Ben Clemmer, host and producer of the program and moderator for this week's show. Thank you for joining me. I'll put today's conversation in context with help from reporting from my counterpart on Morning Edition, WBOI's Zach Bernard. On July 9th, United Way of Allen County announced a series of new strategic priorities for the community that will be the general focus of our discussion today. And before I introduce panelists, I want to take a moment to thank Andy Downs, director of the Mike Downs Center for Indiana Politics at Purdue University Fort Wayne. Andy has been organizing panel discussions that have aired on 89.1 WBOI since before I joined the station staff and began keeping track. So I have no specific quantity to offer other than Andy has helped us organize a lot of panels and participated in many as a moderator or otherwise. So again, thank you, Andy. I will now begin introducing our panelists for our virtual discussion today, being recorded over Zoom. In alphabetical order, our panelists are Rachel Blakeman, director of the Purdue University Fort Wayne Community Research Institute. Welcome.
Hello.
We have John Court, vice chair of United Way of Allen County Board of Directors. Welcome.
Hello.
And we have Matthew Perkey, president and CEO of United Way of Allen County. Welcome.
Thank you, Ben.
Matthew, we will start with you. You were named the president and CEO of United Way of Allen County in January of 2020. Welcome to Northeast Indiana. What attracted you to the area?
Well, Ben, I think that, first of all, I'm a United Way individual. It's in my DNA at this point. I believe when done properly, it can be a catalyst for amazing community change. And in all honesty, I had never been to Fort Wayne. But in our search criteria, my wife had very specific things in saying, well, we have to be able to get back to our aging parents within two and a half hours. So there was a distance criteria. And when I got to Fort Wayne, I fell in love with it. I mean, everything about it. You know, the cliche answer right now would be cost of living, commute time, public schools, things of that nature. But to be honest with you, I just fell in love with the community as soon as I got here.
Given you didn't have any prior experience with the community, what has been the biggest surprise for you so far?
You know, for a community that is so deeply rooted, Ben, I think that I was expecting a lot more pushback against innovative approaches to funding. So, for instance, our emergency relief fund, I was told that under no circumstances would all regional funders be able to get together and invest accordingly to a common initiative. Well, that was claimed false immediately when COVID-19 hit. And because of that, we were able to do what we did during and still doing for the emergency relief fund for COVID-19.
Matthew and John, in our introduction, I mentioned that on July 9th, United Way announced four new funding priorities starting in July of 2022, and more on that later. But United Way has been around for more than 125 years. Over that time, the organization has focused on meeting human service needs. That is a general description. If you had someone's attention for a minute or 90 seconds, I guess we'll say this is the elevator speech version. How would you describe United Way of Allen County and what it does?
United Way was very intentional and strategic in listening to the community in which they identified priorities. For 120 years, 125 years, whatever it may be, United Way did a very good job at telling them our priorities. It was our turn to talk less and listen more. The priorities that were released on July 9th was identified by the community. It is now United Way's single responsibility to address them in every way we can.
John, how about you?
For me, the United Way is really where we get an opportunity to make a difference with people who want to make a difference. We're partnering with agencies in our community. We're trying to move the needle on some of those social service aspects. So by United Way's ability to go out and partner and help convene on the issues and then raise money to help impact those issues, that's really what the United Way steps in our community.
Matthew and John, I'm going to stay with you for these next few questions. What are some of the specific areas of focus for United Way of Allen County? And can you give us some specific examples of how United Way of Allen County addresses the issues it tackles in our community?
Absolutely, Ben. So selfishly, through the Emergency Relief Fund, we were running betas and testing out this new funding process. So United Way exists to answer two questions. What are our community's most pressing needs and what can we do about it? So for instance, during the pandemic, there was obviously a very heightened need for financial assistance. So instead of us saying we're going to raise all this money and we're just going to give it to nonprofits doing great work in our community, we looked at the data and we looked at the best ability for our leverage. So we formed a partnership with Lutheran Social Services, Catholic Charities, and Brightpoint to say you are already in this space. United Way is not going to direct service. What we are doing is being more intentional of our collaborations according to the community need. And because of that, we were able to invest $1 million into this financial assistance initiative that contains a common intake process for financial assistance. We're looking for at shared measurements now. We're looking at common agendas. So we are getting much more effective and efficient in our investment process according to what the community is telling us is important.
John, anything you'd like to elaborate on?
Yeah, I'll build upon that. I think during that emergency relief on the ERF, we were actually taking data, real-time data coming from 211 and being able to determine what the priorities of the community were based on the data that we were receiving from that. So a lot of times what we found early on during the pandemic was food security, food issues, where we were able to get money out to partner organizations, organizations in the community that were making sure that people still had food on the table, that weren't going hungry because of inability to work or inability to get to a location that they were able to receive the food items from and be able to continue to provide for their family.
It must be tempting to target all resources to meet immediate needs, but doing that may keep a community perpetually addressing symptoms and never addressing causes. At the same time, people who have immediate needs should not be ignored, so a community cannot use all of its resources trying to address causes. How does United Way of Allen County balance the need to work in the short and long term?
And Rachel will be able to speak much more eloquently about this in the following questions. But Ben, we live in a society that we would much rather feed, and it is easier to raise money at feeding hungry kids than it is preventing kids from going hungry. That's reality. That's what the figures tell us. And so what we have done is we have tried to strike that balance of root cause and symptoms. How can the dollars in which United Way of Allen County raises be most effective and efficient? And so the four priorities that were rolled out last Friday throughout that very 6-month tedious process that I'm sure we're going to get into, they were looked at through both of those lens. Is this a root cause? Is this a symptom? What is the best way to go about this? We also ran it through a lens of what is already happening in our community. We're not here to duplicate services. We're not here to make a more convoluted or inconvenient way to give back to your community. So all of this was taken into consideration when looking at these new priorities and the strategic way forward for United Way.
And I do want to make sure that those priorities are mentioned again, as announced on the 9th. The priorities are educational opportunities, food security, housing stability, and mental health access.
Yes, that is correct, Ben. And through the process, and once again, not to jump ahead, but United Way of Allen County rolled out a 4-stage strategic planning process. The first stage was an opportunity called StratOps, that is operational well-being exercise that has been facilitated by Fort Wayne's Jason Baker. That is us turning over every rock within our organization to make sure we are the organization in which can accomplish the mission that the community is tasking us with. Then we formed the strategic task force, which gathered 18 community leaders from across the county to come in and look at all the data in which Rachel was able to present, including all the quantitative data in which was married with community insight surveys, donor conversations, community conversations. All of this was given to the experts, ran through a community filter in which they have a list of prioritized issues according to that strategic task force. It can be found on United Way's website. Those priorities were then ran through the Community Impact Committee, in which they looked at it through a fundability, markability, and measurability lens from a United Way perspective. How are we reporting this back to the community? All that was taken into consideration that went to the Board of Directors on July 8th for approval, and that was announced on the 9th of July.
This announcement represents a substantial shift in how United Way funds nonprofits, going from a community chest model to a targeted problem-solving effort. Could you discuss why the shift was made? John, let's start with you.
Well, the shift was changed because the needs of the community have changed. As we, again, went and listened to what our partner agencies were telling us, what the data was telling us, we realized that we're going to be able to maximize United Way's impact on our community by focusing the dollars a little more strategically instead of just going and funding outcomes that our partner agencies were producing. By focusing on these four items through the United Way lens is going to allow us to have a much greater impact with those dollars, thus allowing our partner agencies or the agencies that we're providing funds to actually compound on those dollars and really reap more benefits for those in need in our community.
Matthew, the frequency with which United Way of Allen County examines what it is doing normally, would have been helpful for orienting you to the organization in the area as you arrived. I'm guessing the pandemic changed that a bit. How did United Way of Allen County adjust its planning because of the pandemic?
In 100% transparency, COVID-19 allowed us to accelerate our strategic timeline tenfold. So things that we thought were going to be 3 to 5 years down the road, after a long community needs assessment, after what does impact look like here locally, COVID-19 presented us with an opportunity to do that immediately. So with the emergency relief fund, much to what John just spoke of, we no longer measure our success in the amount of money that is raised. Yes, that is the fuel that allows us to accomplish our mission, but the thermometers in which you see United Way tick up, tick up, tick up, the goal at the top of that is no longer a dollar amount. The goal of success and the measurement for us is now, how are we positively impacting the lives of those living in Allen County? We can raise all the money in the world, Ben, but if we are not doing exactly that, we are still failing. So the Emergency Relief Fund is a great example of that. $4.8 million, while that is something to be very proud of as a community, it is what we do with it that is important. Because of that, thus far, we've helped over 611,000 people across our county receive the services that are needed now because of the COVID-19 pandemic.
An important part of planning is determining community needs and evaluating how well those needs are being met. This is where, Rachel, you enter the story. You and the Community Research Institute have helped a number of organizations with identifying community needs and strategic planning. Before we get into the specifics of what CRI did with United Way of Allen County, I want to give you a chance to make a pitch for the importance of identifying needs and using data to make informed decisions.
Thank you, Ben. What I like to think about is that we often have assumptions about information and data, myself included. I mean, this is part of human nature. And what I've seen is something that we call anecdata, anecdotes or stories for which we impute scale. So we think that that one story represents everyone. Or I often see clients with old data, such as information gathered before the Great Recession, or in a few years, we're going to start seeing people have information and data that was from before the pandemic. Sometimes I see organizations that have no data at all, and they're just being guided by good intentions. And we're now in an era where funders, the general public, expect us to be making at least data-informed decisions. And so that's where we're moving to. And I'm pleased to see what the United Way did on this project. My general rule about data is that if it looks obvious, there are no guarantees that it's available. And very obscure information is often available if you know where to look. Often organizations need someone to help make sense of the information, provide context, or just plain find it in the first place. And then the analysis, the visualizations need to be done so that it makes sense to the general public. I had more than 60 spreadsheets I downloaded from the Census Bureau's data portal for this project, just to give you some context about how we arrived at where we're at today.
Could you elaborate more on the methodology behind the project?
Yeah, absolutely. So the United Way project had two portions. We had one where we used third-party data, everything from the Indiana Department of Education, Fort Wayne Police Department, U.S. Census Bureau. But then I think really what the crux and the unique part of this project was that the United Way paid for a survey. And so often when we hear survey, we think we put the link up on the website and we invite all our friends and our colleagues to take the survey and we report back the information. Well, that's what we call a convenience sample, where we just put it up there and whoever takes the survey takes the survey. This was different in the fact that they did a random sample. We hired the company Survey USA to actually conduct the survey. So we talked to about 525 people. We reported 400 answers for this oversampling. This gets into really particular methodology, but I think it's important that there was an oversample. We talked to more people than are representative of the population as a whole in Allen County, of people living in rural areas and people living in urban areas. And so that allowed the survey to better reflect the diversity of Allen County. If we just leave it to sort of anybody who wants to answer, my demographic, middle-class, white, suburban women in middle age are very good at taking these surveys. As lovely as my group is, we are not representative of the county as a whole. And so we wanted to make sure that we heard from everyone. We conducted the survey from March 23rd through April 17th of this year, and these were conducted by phone and online. And we used all closed-ended questions. So that meant you had to pick an answer from the list. We had no tell us about this or fill in a blank. So we had to pick a number or an answer in all of this. So that was the design of the survey. But we asked questions such as things such as about use of student loans and then how those student loans affected people's lives. So did that mean it delayed the purchase of a house? Did it affect your credit score? Things like that. We asked questions very much about gauging. We gauged levels of things. So we had a whole series of questions about the level of investment and attention in places within Allen County. So downtown Fort Wayne, neighborhoods outside of the city of Fort Wayne, non-cities and towns that, again, aren't Fort Wayne. We tried to represent the diversity of the county to understand if people feel like they're getting enough attention and investment. And that was a really interesting series of questions. We asked about features that people wanted in neighborhoods. So it's a really interesting body of questions that was developed based on the information that we gathered before we started this process.
Rachel, I have one more question for you before we bring Matthew and John back into the discussion. Earlier, it was mentioned that United Way of Allen County focuses on basic needs, education, financial stability, and healthy lives. The survey you put in the field addressed each of these to varying degrees, but really focused on financial issues. Why was that approach taken?
Well, so we recognize that much of the data that we would rely on for the pandemic has not come out yet. 2020 data often is going to not be hitting until September through December of this year. So we don't have information about it. We also knew from the work from the Emergency Relief Fund about some of the needs that were coming in on 211. Again, that's anecdata because it's a selected sample. So we wanted to use the opportunity of using a true random sample survey to understand what was going on. And that was really important for us. So we were able to take that information we had gathered from ERF work and then take that and apply it to the survey here, recognizing we had very limited information otherwise for 2020.
I'll open this next question up to all of you. There is an overwhelming amount of information in this survey, and I want to ask you about themes that you found. Before I do that, though, I want to know if there were any findings that surprised each of you, and whoever wants to go first may.
I believe that because of the nature of our business, Ben, the data point that jumped out, especially in the Community Insight survey, was that only 9% of Allen County prefer to give philanthropically through workplace giving. That means that we are relying as the funding base of this organization on only 9% of our community. That was the validation needed to accelerate our evolution into technology. What other avenues can we take in order to make it convenient for donors to give back to what they care about now?
John, how about you?
Not so much from the survey, but one of the things that jumped out at me, especially when it came to the housing stability, was that Fort Wayne ranked 13th highest in the country when it comes to evictions. We always talk about our community being a great place to live, affordable, but seeing that eviction rate being as high as it is was definitely concerning. And that one of those things that, you know, when you take a look at any community, any organization, you try and think about how do we make something better? Even if we're doing great in all these other categories, let's look at where we're lagging. And that's where United Way is going to step in and with the help of our partner agencies, I think move the needle when it comes to that and provide some security for folks when it comes to their housing.
Rachel?
Yeah, I think one of the interesting things is we were talking about wanting to understand what had been happening during the pandemic. We asked a question about the difficulty of households paying their bills every month. And when we defined paying their bills, it was making the minimum payment on time. So this is a pretty sort of basic threshold. And we found that almost half of them, I think it was 49%, had at least one month where they weren't able to make that minimum payment on time. And most attributed at least some of the difficulty, the effects of the pandemic, primarily job loss or hours being cut at work. So I think that's a really remarkable piece because, again, this wasn't a convenience sample. It wasn't just talking to folks who are calling into 211 who we know are having some sort of crisis in their lives. This was a generalized sample. So I thought that was a really interesting thing. Another one was we asked about people's thoughts about were they able to get ahead financially in the past 2 years? And what did they think was going to happen about being able to get ahead financially? And we define getting ahead financially as being able to make those payments and then save for the future. So when we asked people looking back the past 2 years, 27% said that they had gotten ahead. Looking forward, 37% thought that they were going to be able to get ahead in the future. What I think that tells us is that there is an optimism about the future. What that is founded in, we didn't ask about that. What the thing is, whenever you do surveys, you always find out after you get the results, all the questions you should have asked based on the results you receive. But I thought it was a very interesting position that people are optimistic about their lives.
Ben, I think it's important to say that when we looked at barriers, we have a large population in Allen County that started college but did not finish. That means that they have the burden of the student debt, but not the benefit of the degree. What are the barriers? And this is where we dug deeper. What are the barriers that are keeping people from going back? And if they had the opportunity, would they? And overwhelmingly, the community is saying, yes, if these barriers were addressed, we would be much more likely to go back and finish the degree in which we started. An educational opportunity, it can mean a lot of things. It can be trades, certificates, degrees, whatever that looks like. We're looking at advancement in life. But how do we address, back to your question about basic needs and symptoms and root? So how do we address advancement opportunities with the basic needs of housing and food, right? So how does a kid get ahead in school? Well, they're much more likely to go to school and be able to learn if they have a stable house over their head and food in their belly. So we are addressing the root cause and the symptoms while trying to advance people in life in Allen County.
John, how about you?
I just want to follow up what Matthew said there. I mean, that's that short-term and that long-term aspect that we talked about earlier. You got to have both sides of the coin on this one. And I really think that's where all four of our initiatives that we're rolling out of educational opportunities, food security, housing stability, and mental health access is really going to pay dividends for the now and the immediate, but also for the long-term success of not only that individual, but of their family members, specifically their children.
Any other major themes that we want to highlight, taking away from the survey?
Yeah, I think also we asked a really important question, knowing that when we asked this, we were about a year into the pandemic. And so we opted to ask about people's emotional well-being and their confidence we had a very specific way we asked the question. And what I thought was interesting was 67% of our respondents indicated their emotional well-being as some degree of positive, either always or most of the time in the past year. And this was during the pandemic, when I think a lot of us were struggling. We did see a split when we looked at the responses that older individuals felt much more confident about their emotional well-being than people who were younger. That split is not unique to Allen County. We have seen that in national data. So this is one where we align with that. But I think it's interesting to see the share of people that felt actually fairly positive in the past year. With that said, there was also a significant share of people who wanted to seek mental health treatment. And what was interesting was that 90% of the people who sought treatment were able to do so. They were able to see somebody in person or virtually. But then when we look at why people who wanted to get treatment but opted not to, cost was a significant driver on that, as was their ability to get help from friends or family. There was some shame involved with that, of stigma. And then also some people just simply weren't sure about where to receive those services. So I think as they're looking at mental health access and questions about that, we have really good data, locally and timely data, that can help inform the work for this. So these were very much designed to be direct strategy and tactical approaches to the work that they're going to do, so that they have, again, we're not using anecdata, we're not using outdated data, we're not using good intentions. We actually have something to attach to decide how we can move forward on that.
Rachel, you mentioned the questions you realize later that you wish you had asked. Were there findings that you want to explore further? And I'll open that to all of you.
There's always questions you want to know the answer to. So one of the things that we do when we do a survey is that I always like to have a not applicable or not sure or other or something like that. Hopefully when we use an other or answer not listed here, hopefully we're in a relatively small section on that. And that tells me that the panel of answers that I gave in the survey were very good. We had a few where we got other as like the second most common answer. And so when that happens, we go, oh, well, we didn't quite hit the mark on that. So I think that that's whenever those happen, we learn from that. Sometimes we have to make good guesses and we try. So I think a lot of it is just further exploring some of these key issues into the work that they do. A survey also has a limitation of they aren't free. So sometimes you have to make hard decisions about questions we couldn't ask because we ran out of time and money. But I think that really, hopefully the community insight survey will come back in the future, but this is a starting point, not an end for this work.
Matthew, how about you?
Yeah, I would just echo what Rachel said. There is so much, and when someone mentions that they have all the answers, that's not someone I want to be around, because that means that we didn't ask all the questions, right? And there's looking at the data that Rachel was able to gather and present to the strategic task force, there are so many other questions, right? And you look at some of the major priorities and you take public health, for instance. What are the other elements that we're also tracking? How do they play into that? So when you start looking at transportation and equitable access and things of this nature, like any good conversation, we could go down rabbit holes with any one of those. But like any research, there are restrictions, there are boundaries. And we did the absolute best with the time we had and the money we had available. And I am extremely proud of the product.
Yeah, I think to follow up on that, one piece also is this was designed as a generalized sample of the Allen County population. So there are questions that we actually removed because we knew that that was a very narrow portion of the audience. So if you start asking questions about things such as childcare, you know that that's actually a very small portion of households in Allen County have a child the age that needs childcare. So that is part of the reason why sometimes we had to take questions. I remember working with the United Way team and we came up with this great series of questions and I would say, yeah, except that's going to apply to, if we're lucky, 10% of the people we talk to. So then you get a sample that's so small that you can't do that. So if you're talking about, like, let's stay with like asking about families with young children, you may want to do a different approach in getting that information. We needed to take a question bank that hit as many people of those 400 as we could and get some answers out of them. Or in the case of student loans, we really had no idea. So we had to pick and just ask and find out. We weren't sure if we were going to hit 60% of the households or if we were going to hit 10% of the households. We really didn't know until we got the information back.
John, anything you want to add?
Yeah, I think this was, you know, to echo something again that Rachel said, it's a starting point, not the end point. And this is really our first step in our process. These are our four initiatives that we're focused on. It's not necessarily the tactics and strategies that we're going to be implementing to, again, move the needle on those items. We're going to constantly be looking at data from, you know, other organizations, from our own internal data points, from 211, from the state, to see, again, how we're moving the needle in those four key areas that we're focused on. So I don't think this told us what we need to target. Now it's, you know, how do we implement strategies to, again, to make the impact where it's needed.
And Ben, to follow up on that also. So internally within the United Way, September, October, November, I told the team that the most important 6 months of United Way of Allen County's history was January through the end of June. This is going to determine future direction. This is going to evolve us as an organization. I want to retract that statement and say getting the data and the strategies and the direction was not the most important. The most important is what we do with it. So taking that data, we could let it sit on a shelf. It could be just like any other strategic plan. But now we have asked the community what was important. We have announced it publicly, and now we are being held accountable. What are we going to do with the data and the priorities that we have identified? the most important 6 months, year, whatever that looks like, is always going to be the next ones. Because what do we do with the data that's available? We build strategies. We announce broad goals. We build collaborations. We have shared measurements. The next 6 months will always be the most important. So the data has given us a starting point, not an end point, like the other two have said.
The results of the survey are available to the public. Could you tell us all where those looking to see these results may find them?
Absolutely. These are going to be available at the United Way's website, which is unitedwayallencounty.org. And then click on the community level data tab at the top of the page. I think one of the key things about this, and to the credit of the United Way, is the fact that they are releasing all of the data publicly. Sometimes organizations I do work for, and they keep it internal for a variety of reasons that they need to or they want to. To the credit of the United Way, they looked at a broad base of information, not only things that United Way is interested or committed to addressing. So we have lots of information that actually we didn't have the opportunity to talk about here today, and that has the ability then to be used by other funders. We know that Matthew's gotten a lot of calls from nonprofits who would like to see this information because they know they're going to be writing grants and using that. I already sent an email to some colleagues of mine at the city of Fort Wayne saying, hey, make sure to check out these sections of the reports, because I think this is really important for the work that your office is doing. So I think that really the idea for this is to be a centralized data resource. I've never seen this amount of data collected in one location about Allen County. That was our reference point, was Allen County as a whole. We have some pieces of information that go into smaller segments, but we made a pretty clear decision from the get-go that we were going to look at this on an Allen County level. And when we had third-party data sources, we tried to make comparisons to the county and the state, or excuse me, to the state and the nation. Those were the comparisons that we made. So there's lots of information so you can start to see how things line up. There's no predictive quality that I've been able to figure out as to whether Allen County performs better or worse than the state and the nation. You just have to look at the numbers. And so there's lots of numbers to be looked at in these reports. So if anybody has any questions, they are welcome to reach out to me by email, rachel.blakeman@pfw.edu. The reports, these things are fully cited, so you can go in and check it out yourself if you want to. So we look forward to having that used. I'm sure Matthew and John can speak on that as well.
And Ben, to what Rachel was just saying, so it's a sports analogy, but it's applicable. If someone yells at you from the other room and they say, come here, come here, come here, and you run in and they're watching a sports game, the first thing you look at is the score, right? Well, we currently had 12 different scoreboards going at all time in Allen County. So my hopes and my goal is that we start working on the same scorecard. So we're all measuring success. We're all looking at the same data points. And so we wanted to give a foundation to the community, give it away freely, nonprofits, business, other funders. We wanted to add value to everybody by saying, please take this and work from this also. So we want to all be running into the same room and seeing the same score.
In addition to making the data available to the community, what are the next steps for United Way of Allen County, and how will this information feed back into what United Way of Allen County does going forward?
This has determined everything. So prior, and I don't mean this disrespectful in any way of anybody who's worked with United Way prior, but we have tried to be everything to everybody. And we have been stretched so thin that we have maintained and built relationships, but we have not been able to see measurable impact in our community. This data has come from the community telling us what is most important. The team at United Way of Allen County now gets to work building those strategies. And that might be from community impact, that might be from marketing, that might be from resource development, because each one of these priorities are as unique as the way we measure. Everything's going to have a different timeline. Everything's going to be measured differently. But this has given us the foundation of who we are and what we will be addressing moving forward.
John, anything you want to add?
The analogy I used in a conversation with Matthew maybe a week, 2 weeks ago, and forgive me, my former Cub Scout days may be popping up, but I kind of view our initiatives now almost in the sense of a compass. So we've got north, south, east, and west with educational opportunities, food security, housing stability, mental health access. And And so you've got the four points on the compass, but right there in the middle, where that needle's actually locked down, is the United Way. And what this study has given us is our direction and where we need to head with all those four initiatives. And the United Way is going to be there, right there in the middle, bringing partner agencies, other entities in the community together to help impact all those areas. So that's what we've got to do now in the 6, 12, and 18 months to make sure that once we roll this out in July of 2022, we're ready to make an impact with the community, with the partner agencies, and again, continue to just push our mission as United Way forward.
When it comes to how these four areas are addressed and this plan is implemented, could you elaborate a little bit more on the timeline and how this will come into play? We did mention earlier that this plan will take effect in July of 2022. I just want to make sure all the numbers and the timeline is clear.
Yeah, Ben, being a United Way leader in my third United Way in my third state, I've seen it done very well and done very poorly. And one thing that we wanted to be very transparent about was our current funded partner agencies. So we could build the most elaborate marketing scheme Allen County has ever seen, and it would hold a drop in a bucket compared to word of mouth of our amazing partners that we have now. A lot of United Ways fall behind because they announce these 3 or 6 months before the funding transition. That does not give partner agencies who might not make the transition adequate time to do so. This transition was approved on January 14th. We had an all hands on deck, all partner agencies on January 21st. And I promised them throughout this entire process, I would be transparent and I would be accessible. I had all open office hours for any questions. I presented to the boards of directors, the EDs, whatever needed, because I promised, I don't know what priorities are going to come out of this, but I promise you I'll be transparent in the process. So they are very aware of this transition. And so if you are running a campaign this calendar year or this fiscal year, that will be going to the last year of our current allocation process with our partner agencies. Starting July 1st of 2022, we will be implementing the strategies in which we've been speaking of here today. We will be taking the priorities that have been identified by the community. We will build strategies around them, whether that's shared measurements, common agendas, measurability, marketability, whatever that looks like. But that work is internal to United Way. And this year, we are still funding our current partner agencies through June 30th of 2022.
When we're pulling data from the community, when we're asking these questions, there's going to be a lot of wheels turning and a lot of people involved. Before we end our time, could you talk a little bit about some of the folks who were involved in making this survey possible?
And Ben, we knew from the beginning that this is not United Way's data to own. This was owned by the community. And we had to know that there was representation from all sectors that are putting into and giving input in this process. So from a United Way perspective, you know, we had three different consulting firms. We had, you know, 18 community leaders. We heard from 7 subject matter experts and over 1,000 hours of volunteer, consultant, and paid staff time that went into this process. We were intentional. We were transparent. And to be honest, Ben, we were vulnerable. You know, we didn't know what was going to come out of this process, but we had to make sure that we were the organization that could address it regardless.
We are having this conversation less than a week after the initial announcement on July 9th of 2021. What has some of the feedback looked like? Some of the questions that you've gotten from the community about this data set that, again, is going to be available for the community to use going forward?
Ben, I think that that's most addressed in what we have always done is not going to get us to where we want to be now. The four priorities that were rolled out, we were very intentional with the questions to find out what was most important to the community. We are not abandoning the ALICE population. We are not abandoning early childhood education, but we are attacking it differently. If you think about early childhood education, and Rachel mentioned this earlier in a similar question, that more than 40% of our community ages 18 to 34 have told us through this community insight survey that they are not capable of dealing with life's ups and downs in the current environment. This was a question that came directly out of the community insight survey. So if you look at community education and you look at typically ages 18 to 34 are the ages of those parents whose kids are going into early childhood education. So what if we can affect that household with providing food, getting a stable house, and addressing the mental health imagine the environment in which we are setting children up for to go into early childhood education. So early childhood, things of that nature, we have no lack of quality services. Our job is to, how do we complement the services that are currently offered in order to address the issues that are priority to the community?
John, what have you heard from the community in terms of some areas of feedback?
Well, some of the areas that we've heard, obviously early childhood that Matthew's already mentioned, mental health was something that, again, definitely came up and how that impacts each one, every one of these items, whether, again, it's the educational opportunities or getting back to work after having some mental health issues or some stressors from the pandemic. So we're seeing that where it's going to impact every other item that we've made in importance. Transportation is another one that I've gotten questions about, that we're not specifically funding any one transportation initiative. But when we took a look at this, we felt like transportation was such a vital aspect to all four of these. So funding for transportation will be part of our educational opportunities, making sure that people who are looking for employment have a means to get to work, have means to pick up their children. Food security, you know, oftentimes if people live in a food desert and you don't have transportation to get to that grocery store that is multiple miles away, again, how does transportation fit into that? Housing stability, mental health, transportation is crucial if you're going to actually go and meet with a mental care professional. So transportation is something that's going to fall into every one of these buckets, and there's going to be mechanisms there for us to impact our four initiatives by leveraging our transportation partners.
As we end our time today, I do want to open up the floor to each of you in turn. What are some final thoughts that you have going forward from here?
I'll go ahead and I'm going to make a pitch for your listeners, regardless of what sector they're in, to check out this information and this data. The reports that CRI prepared for the United Way are designed for general use by the public. So if you work in a for-profit company, there is information that is of value to you. If you work in the government and public sector, you have information here at the ready. I really see this as an interesting and unique look at Allen County data, and your listeners owe it to themselves and owe it to their community to better understand. I think that you will be surprised at what you find. You'll be surprised in good ways. You'll be surprised at ways that make your heart break all at the same time. And that's, I think, one of the unique things about data is that you will consistently find yourself affirmed on beliefs that you walked in with, but you also need to be ready to be surprised, both good and bad. So we invite you to check that out and to see that. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out.
John, final thoughts?
First, I would say I'm excited. I'm excited about where United Way is and the direction that we're heading. You know, our mission is to boldly impact critical community issues. And we're doing just that with our four priorities that we've listed. And although some of those priorities aren't necessarily different than some in the past, I would tell you and anyone listening, we have never had as much data to back up what our priorities are as we do today. So I'm excited that the priorities are driving our mission, and that the United Way is, again, stepping forward to help the community when it comes to those core four areas that we're focused on.
And Matthew, how about you?
I just want to say thank you to everybody involved in this process. There was no shortage of talent. I mean, if you look at the amazing experts and the leaders that have poured into this process, like it took on a life of its own. In fact, when we started the strategic planning process, it was called the United Way Strategic Planning Task Force. And we realized it grew so much bigger than what we were capable of even holding in-house. We wanted it to be the community strategic planning task force. So they looked at it through the community lens, and then United Way looked at it separately. So this data, much to what Rachel was saying, is available to all. And I hope that, you know, much to the analogy I mentioned earlier of the scores, I hope we start looking at these issues through the same scorecard. You know, how are we progressing as a community? And, you know, everybody from the strategic task force to the community impact committee here at United Way to the board of directors and to the team here at United Way. I mean, this has been a tedious process, and, you know, our team is exhausted, and we had to get here, and we did. And I am so proud to be part of the process.
Again, I want to thank Andy Downs, director of the Mike Downs Center for Indiana Politics at Purdue University Fort Wayne, for organizing this conversation today. In stepping into his shoes as moderator of this conversation, I appreciate him all the more. I want to thank all of our panelists for participating in today's discussion. Our guests were once again in alphabetical order: Rachel Blakeman, director of the Purdue University Fort Wayne Community Research Institute. We had John Court, vice chair of United Way of Allen County Board of Directors, and Matthew Perkey, president and CEO of United Way of Allen County. Thank you, all of you, for giving of your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
Thanks, Ben.
For the podcast of this program, Rachel Blakeman, director of the Purdue University Fort Wayne Community Research Institute, provided some more specifics and details from the survey data discussed in the panel.
In the survey, we did a series of questions that we called community investment. And this was used to identify the perceptions on, quote, the level of investment and attention for six locations within Allen County. We used the following scale: not enough, the right amount, too much, or not sure. In the survey, we did not define what constituted investment or attention. So it's not possible for us to determine if the investment should be from private sources, from the public sector, but it gives us a rather generalized sense about the community's perception of these locations. So we asked about these six locations. We asked about downtown Fort Wayne, southeast Fort Wayne, Fort Wayne's neighborhoods. Then going outside of Fort Wayne, we asked about other Allen County cities and towns, neighborhoods in other parts of Allen County, and then lastly, the rural areas of Allen County. We got varying responses. So for downtown Fort Wayne, 58% said it has the right amount of investment and attention. Now, I'm cautious about advising folks to say what this is about going forward, because this was not a forward-looking statement. This was a present statement. So I would not say that this was the right amount, therefore we should stop spending on it. Nor would I say that this is the right amount, therefore we need to keep spending the same amount that we have spent. It is simply saying right now, people like downtown Fort Wayne. Now, what we do see then is 12% said not enough, and 19% said too much, with 11% not sure. So in downtown investment, downtown Fort Wayne investment had the largest segment of, quote, the right amount. Like I said, we did not define what the right amount was, but we can at least, it gives us a perception. Then we looked at southeast Fort Wayne. We did not give a definition of the boundary, so it's a generalized perception of what constitutes southeast. And now we have 45% of our respondents saying it was not enough. 28% said it was the right amount, and only 7% said too much, with one in five respondents, or 20%, saying they're not sure about that. So clearly there is a community interest in investment in southeast Fort Wayne. What was interesting was that when we look at some of the data from these surveys, we can look at it separated out by geography. But we saw that people who didn't live in Fort Wayne and lived in rural areas were also very committed to investment in southeast Fort Wayne. So I think we can say that there is a generalized community priority and intention of investing in southeast Fort Wayne. Now, what does that investment look like? We didn't ask that question. Those are the kinds of things that you have to get these kinds of answers back in order then to ask the next set of questions. We didn't know what we were going to come back with, so we didn't know what the next question to ask was. That gives us something about Southeast Fort Wayne. Going on to Fort Wayne neighborhoods, 39% said not enough. We had the exact same amount who said the right amount at 39%. Only 5% said too much, and we had this 17% that was simply not sure. Moving then out of Fort Wayne and into Allen County, then we're looking at other Allen County cities and towns. So we're looking at Huntertown, Woodburn, New Haven. We didn't define them. We interviewed people who live in Allen County, so we made an assumption that they know what these areas are. 39% again said it was the right amount. 23% said not enough. 5% said too much. But here's the interesting thing. 1/3 said not sure. And we consistently have this 1/3 block of not sure across all three of the Allen County, not Fort Wayne answers here. So that tells us that there are people probably who are living in Fort Wayne who are not as connected and do not believe that they have an informed opinion to make this. And that's why we ask about the not sure, so that we're not forcing people into an answer. We're allowing them. It tells us there's actually 1/3 of the people who live in Allen County haven't made up their mind about places outside of Fort Wayne. So then if we look at neighborhoods outside of Fort Wayne and other parts of Allen County, 34% said right amount, 27% said not enough, 5% too much, and 34% the not sure. Then if we look at investment in rural areas, we had a pretty even split between not enough and the right amount. Not enough at 29%, right amount at 31%. 6% were too much, and then we had that 1/3 at 34% who said not sure. So one of the pieces that we looked at in the report were some of the health measures. So this wasn't a community health needs assessment by any stretch, but we wanted to look at this. Most of our data in the report is on the county level, but we, on a handful of measures, looked at it on a sub-county population. And for life expectancy, the Centers for Disease Control give us life expectancy at the census tract level. So the data we have, the most recent one, was from 2010 to 2015. They have a really fun tool for folks who want to go on, and you can actually type in your address and you can see what the life expectancy is for where you live. But when we look at it on a county level, we actually have our highest life expectancy at the census tract in either Southwest Fort Wayne or Southwest Allen County. They have a life expectancy that's longer than the longest life expectancy in the world, which is actually Hong Kong. Yes, I know Hong Kong is not a nation, but in the chart, that's how they count it. So Hong Kong has the longest life expectancy. And the children born between 2010 and 2015 in that census tract had a life expectancy that was, I think, close to 90 years old, if we look at it that way. Then when we look at it, the longest life expectancy was 86.8 years. And Hong Kong's was 85.29 years. Then when we look at the shortest life expectancy in Allen County, which is for census tract 17, that is in Southeast Fort Wayne. Their life expectancy was 66.9 years old, and Kenya was 67.47. So that means that nations in the global south have a longer life expectancy than the children who are being born in Indiana's second largest city. That to me is a pretty dramatic split. The shortest and the longest split was 19.9 years. So children born in one census tract are expected to have less than 20 years than the people born in the longest life expectancy. Unfortunately, they don't give us county level population information in terms of life expectancy. So we have to compare it to the state. So the state was 77.4 years. So that gives you a sense. So we're looking at for 11 years or almost 11 years lost in that lowest census tract. And then you're getting almost 9 years out of the longest census tract. So if we think about this, this also helps us understand the disparities within Allen County. So I think that is a pretty significant exercise for us to understand. There were very clear direction from the United Way when we started this project to look at county level data for a variety of reasons. We wanted to look at county as Allen County as a whole, rather than trying to do sub geography. So we could look at City of Fort Wayne, we could look at census tracts, we could look at zip codes. This was the one exercise where we decided that there was some value in understanding the disparities across Allen County. So I think it also helps us to understand when we're looking at county level data, that it is geographically disparate. So there are going to be parts of the county that are going to far outperform the county level numbers, and there are going to be parts of the county that are far underperforming the county level numbers. So I would caution anyone from taking the county level data and spreading it across Allen County and thinking that that is what they are going to see regardless of where people live. You can start to see that, especially we have school data in the report. And so you can see information about like the share of students on free and reduced lunch in the four public school districts. That gives you a very clear understanding of the different populations that the four school corporations serve within Allen County. And the differences, obviously this measures economic differences of those children that are in our schools.
This has been an episode of WBOI Presents. Special thanks to WBOI production assistant Steve Mullaney for editing this program for broadcast. Our music is by Mark Waldeck, Noah Campodonico, Kurt Remke, and Hope Arthur. Our web producer is Loyal Vandenberg. Our production assistants are Monica Blankenship, Alex Costanzo, Steve Mullaney, Kyle Norbeck, Mariah Roberts, Diamond Thomas, Michaela Veltum, and Sydney Wagner. Until next time, thank you for listening. From WBOI Fort Wayne.